Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Says that God has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. He says every tongue will confess in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, in hell. You see, he says you're going to confess Jesus is Lord even in hell. Amen. The people in hell are going to have, the word confess means to agree. They're going to be in hell and they're going to have to confess Jesus is Lord. They agree, I wish I would have agreed and confessed him when I was alive and on the earth. And they're going to be in regret for the rest of their life, for eternity. Did you catch that? That's what confession means, to agree. So we need to agree now what God says about salvation. Amen. Are you with me? And his word. I'll tell you what, I'm excited. God doesn't send anybody to hell, does he? You send yourself because you don't want to agree with his plan for your salvation. That's good stuff right there. We are going to continue in our series or whatever you want to call it, and we're going to talk about being committed. And we've talked about the importance of commitment. And so anything that's of any significance in your life, it's going to take commitment. If you're gonna have a good marriage, it's going to take commitment. If you're going to be successful in your career, you're going to have to be committed. If you're going to be successful in a business, you're going to have to be committed. If you're going to be successful in school, you're going to have to be committed. If you're going to have a church, you want committed people. And you want a committed pastor. People want commitment. They don't tell you that, but they do. I like committed people. How about you? You know what? Being committed is attractive. Remember I told you the story about Donita. She was committed. That was one of the things that attracted me to her. She's committed. I knew that, hey, she takes care of her mom and her daughter, and dog, she's going to take care of me. Are you with me? But you know how, I mean. Committed. So when you're, and she worked in the nursery all those years, committed. When people are committed, it's attractive. When you have people that aren't committed, it's not so attractive. Because you know it affects your trust level. You don't want to put a whole lot of trust in them. But the Bible talks about, remember we talked about loyalty. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are loyal towards him. Loyal. He's looking for loyal people. Remember, loyalty cannot be demonstrated until it's given the opportunity not to be. Loyalty cannot be demonstrated until it's given the opportunity not to be. That's huge right there. That's huge. That's why at this juncture in my life, I'm looking for people who are loyal next to me and around me. Am I making sense? Because I'm out to do His will, and I'm going to accomplish His will and fulfill His plan and purpose, and I'm going to discover who I am. Are you with me?
Amen.
And that's what it takes. You have to be committed if you're going to fulfill His will in your life. Without commitment, it won't happen. It won't happen. So, we're going to look at, Christina got back there. Okay, Christina, go with me to our foundational scripture. We're going to do the vision. And we're going to get started here. All right. I'm excited. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now look at this. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He says, commit. Remember? What's the word commit mean? The word commit in the Hebrew is the word Golgotha. And that's where Jesus was crucified, on Golgotha's hill. And so what he's saying there is, what's the implication? The implication is, if you're committed, you're willing to die for what you believe in. Did you catch that? If it's not worth dying for, it's not worth being committed to. So commitment is a big word. And God is looking for people who are committed. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Committed until that day. You see, the word day is capital D when Jesus comes back. Paul said he's persuaded. He's able to keep Him until that day because of His commitment. Now think about this. Look what it says. Commit your way. See, it's not gonna happen your way. We have to commit our way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now listen to me. Commit. Okay? When we're committed, we're going to trust the Lord. When you're committed, your commitment comes because you're trusting the Lord. Now pay attention. This word trust, listen to what it means. It means careless. The ability to be careless. So when I'm committed, I have the ability, the power in me to be careless. In other words, careless means I'm not carrying a bunch of care. I'm not worried. The word worry means care. You're full of care. Care, you're full of care. Anxiety. Did you get that? So when you're committed, you can be careless. Careless means I don't have to worry about what they're going to say or think because I'm committed to the Lord. Remember, we talked last week about we want to live from affirmation, not for affirmation. We want to live from affirmation, not for affirmation. Listen to me. Studies have proven that people that start conversations with affirmation, their conversations end in affirmation. It's proven. But people who start with critical, negative speech towards the other one end in strife and disagreement. We're supposed to live out. We're supposed to live from affirmation, what God says to you, what God is saying to you and about you, who you are. You live from that. You know what that does? It makes you secure, stable. You see that? When you're committed, you can trust. You can trust Him. And now, because you're giving your cares to Him, you don't have to carry all this worry and all these problems and all what you see on the news and all that's going on in this crazy world we live in. Because you're committed. And you know God says He'll take care of you. Am I making sense? Come on, am I? Because you were not designed to be to walk around full of care and worry and anxiety. You were not created to be anxious and worried all the time. You see this? That's why it says in Matthew's gospel, the cares and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word of God. God has your solution. But when you're full of care and anxiety, it's choking out what God's trying to get to you. Because you're not committed somewhere. And you're not trusting Him. Does it make sense? It chokes it out. God trying to get it to you, but you're walking around meditating on it and musing on that problem. And it's choking out what God's trying to get to you. He's trying to get a solution to you. I woke up in the middle of the night, depressed. First thing, you know where I go? I go to my prescription. Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. If there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the peace of God will be with you. The peace of God. God shows up. Because you're going back to your source in your thinking. And depression can't. Then I just roll over and go right back to sleep. It works. Because I'm committed. Am I making sense? Come on, am I? I'm trying to help you see something. This is huge, folks. This is huge. Now, see, you ever get around people that have trust issues? You know, they always, they're looking out one eye, or they don't trust people. They don't trust anybody. And they have this jaded view of what's going on in the world, and they're ready to tell you about it. And you can see it on their countenance. They're not full of joy. They have no energy. They look depleted. Am I making sense? And always on the defense. You know what that is? That's a wound. That's an abandonment issue. Oh, he's getting all clinical on me now. I grew up, and my mother was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenic. I grew up with that stuff. I spent the last 13 years with her, and she didn't have it. I saw what God could do. Here's what I'm trying to show you. Abandonment issues come from divorce. When parents get divorced, it causes that child to feel abandoned, and it deeply wounds them. Well, my parents didn't get divorced. Well, did your parents read the Bible to you at night? And did they teach you God's will and His word? Did they live it in front of you? Then if they didn't, you have abandonment issues, and you can't trust people because you get hurt. And you won't trust people because you don't want to get hurt anymore. So you're always trying to protect yourself because you can't trust. See, you're carrying it. That's not careless. You're carrying it. And it's choking out God trying to get his word to deliver you so you can be you. You need to shut up. Am I making sense? That's what's going on. And he wants to show you you. He wants to reveal the you to you that you haven't even met yet. Some people spend all this energy and time and money trying to do all these things and build all this stuff. They're trying to see something they think they're never going to. They don't have time. They're not going to see when they don't even see who they are.
Amen.
Yeah, you can clap for that. Am I making sense? This is what's going on. So now listen. This is going to help you. You're going to get something out of this. Go with me to Isaiah 35. See, he says he'll bring it to pass. You see, here's what happens. He'll heal you of that wound where your parents or somebody did you wrong. You know what? Some people don't even have parents. Never even met them. And I see them living healthy lives. I mean, you talk about rejection. Rejection leaves an infection that only God can heal. Am I making sense?
Well, I don't need that. Shoot. I got me a degree.
Okay. Am I? Do I? I said, no, I don't want to repeat that. I'm just having a little fun. But that's the way people are. Not any of you in this room, but you know what I mean. Okay, so now, here we are. Look at this. The wilderness, look at that word wild. See that word wild in there? This is a messianic scripture. And it's Isaiah prophesying about the first advent, the first coming of the Lord, Jesus' birth, Christmas. He's prophesying about that to take place. Okay? He's talking about, that's what this is. It's a messianic scripture. Now, this is what's happened before the cross. Okay? Now, this is the prophet Isaiah looking and prophesying before the cross. Okay? Now, Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. That was all prophesied before the cross. See that? And this is what this, that was a messianic scripture. This is a messianic scripture. Now, okay, here, what's this Peter say? Peter says it this way. He says, Jesus, in 1 Peter 2:24, he says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. And by his stripes, we were healed. You see that? Now it was our before the cross. Now after the cross, we're in that area. We have the ability to be healed of no matter what's happened in our life. Am I making sense? Amen. Come on, am I making sense?
Amen.
And see, that's what trust does. When you have that trust in him, It frees you to be you. You see that? It frees you to be you. And that's what we need. All of us. All of us are broken. All of us have trust issues. We need to learn to trust God because we're committed to Him. You see this? Now think about this. God has shaken this world, this wilderness that we live in. Let me tell you something. This wilderness that we live in, God has created a garden right in the middle of it. A garden. Just like the Garden of Eden. You know, you've heard me talk about how Donita and I have a little paradise. That's our garden. I mean, we just enjoy each other and we enjoy life because we believe what this word is saying. Are you with me? And we look forward to seeing each other every day, all day, middle of the afternoon. You the best. Oh, who doing? We always say that. Who doing? That's my grandma used to say that. You doing? U-T, who doing? We carry on. I'm telling you, folks, it can be that way. Well, you don't have to say, who doing? You can come up with your own and enjoy each other. Enjoy your life. And you know what? It starts to show on you. Somebody might want what you got. Am I making sense? Now look at this. This is what's going on. This is preparation for the first coming, but also the second coming of the Lord. Right here. Now watch this. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord. You see, he's talking about they. He's talking about you and me. Amen. People who know the Lord. If you're born again. You see that? He wants you to have joy and gladness. Huh? He wants you to live in that. So when you're all miserable and upset and complaining about everything, you're outside the will of God. Think about this. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel. You know what Carmel means? Carmel means garden land. It means plentiful. It means beautiful. And look at this word, Sharon. The word Sharon means beauty, beauty of the bride. We're the bride. Our lives should be beautiful. I used to have a boss. He was a Marine, ex-Marine. He'd always say, well, that's a thing of beauty. Well, that's what we ought to be, a thing of beauty. People think of us, yeah, that's a thing of beauty right there. Look at the person next to you and say, you're a thing of beauty. You're a thing of beauty. Aren't you glad you came to church today? This is the way it's supposed to be. Just saying. Now, God has shaken up this wilderness that you may learn to live by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
He wants you to build your life on the permanence of the eternal and not the instability of the temporal.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God wants you to build your life on the permanence of the eternal and not the instability of the temporal. Every day, we're to live that way. All day. You can go see what you want and build what you want, but just stay in the eternal. Are you with me? And keep discovering who you are. And stay in the body of Christ. And because if you don't stay in the body of Christ, your countenance is going to be one of the first things that goes.
That's right.
And you'll be broke, busted, and disgusted. You can have a bank full of money and be broke.
Sure.
Miserable. Then your kids don't want what you have, and your neighbors don't want what you have, and nobody wants what you have. Give me the next one. Verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Verse 4. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and with the recompense of God, he will come and save you. You see that? He's going to come again and save us that are already saved. And we are going to be the new heaven and the new earth. And we're going to rule on the new heaven and in the new earth. Those who are born again, your new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Just like we talked about in baptism, Valentine. You're part of the new creation. Get a hold of that. That's huge. This is what's going on. And God wants you and I to live in such a way that we express who we are in the Lord so other people want to be a part of it. You see that? So young people see us. I need to get involved with some of that. Go back to verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands. Now listen to me. You find this verse in Hebrews chapter 12 as well. Verse 12. Strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight the paths of your feet, so that what is lame may not become dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God, unless any root of bitterness causes trouble and causes many to be defiled. You know what he's saying? You didn't give grace to people who needed grace. And you got bitter because you were dislocated from the body. Strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight the paths of your feet so that what is lame may not become dislocated. You see, we all need healing. When we stay in the body of Christ, we're going to be healed. You're going to get healing. Are you listening to me?
Save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Say